We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Why don't you go ahead and get your Bibles and go over to Exodus chapter 20, or for some of you, turn your Bibles on, however that looks in your world this morning. How many of you are dual? You're on and in. Can I see your hands? You got them on and in, right? Well, first of all, let me say it looks naked in here. If you've missed this week, you'll understand what that statement meant. This place was decorated in such an amazing fashion. And really, I want to thank our workers. We're going to show a video at the end of the service. And so don't go to sleep, all right? You're going to want to stay awake. We got some footage of this week and give you a little snapshot of everything that went on. We are in a subject today as we journey through the Ten Commandments. It's called God's Laws for Living. And this is the second part, called The Father's Plan for Families. If you're in Exodus chapter 20, I'm going to read this verse because there's a lot of ground to cover. Some of you are looking at the back of your bulletin and all you see are lines, and some of you don't like that. You'll be okay, all right? It was done with intentionality. There's a lot of things coming onto the screen today. I'm not sure you'll be able to get them all or fit them all in, and it's a very tight week for our office staff. A lot of people are extremely busy, and so the secretaries always like when I walk in and say, hey, we're just going to run lines this week. They do a little happy dance, and so I know you guys don't like that. But so there'll be a lot of things coming onto the screen for you to take notes on. But let's look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. Bible says, read it with me. Ready? Ready? Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So let's go ahead and get a couple of things off the table this morning so we can clear the way for what is going to obviously be a hard discussion on honoring our parents. Now, last week I mentioned that this was a two-part series. And the first point last week, if you were not here, was simply this: the parental authority is to be understood and respected. And we talked about that. And by the way, if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you, you can go online. The sermon is up. I'm not sure if the video is, but the audio is. You can listen to it. So if you weren't here last week, a lot of what we're going to discuss today was the groundwork, the foundational elements, if you will, of today. And we talked extensively last week about parental authority. It's to be understood. Why God set it up this way, and it's to be respected. And then I gave you a great quote as I moved into our second point. It was by the great preacher D.L. Moody, who said these words: I have lived over 60 years, and I have learned one thing, if nothing else: no man or woman who dishonors father or mother ever prospers. You can't do it. How many of you know that you can't beat the Bible? Say amen. You can't. People are trying, but it's not going to work. And this is what Moody was saying. And the second point was simply this: protection and prosperity are the results of honoring our parents. These are the results. This is what happens when we honor our parents. In the text, look at your Bible. You'll notice there the back end of the verse. God, why would we do this? That your days may be long upon the land. Ephesians 6:4, that it may be well with thee. Children, obey your parents. The point is, honoring our parents gives us not only quantity of life, but quality of life. A fruitful and a full life does not always point to age as much as it points to outcome, what kind of life you actually got to live. Now, for many today, what we understand is that it's hard. It's hard to honor our parents. Some of you are here, and you came back intentionally because you were like, okay, Pastor, how are you going to pull this off? You don't know my mom. You don't know my dad. You don't know them. You don't know the kind of life we led, the kind of man he was, the kind of woman she was. Some of you are here, And there's not honor in your heart. There's hate. There's hurt. Deep, painful hurt. And some of you, that hurt over the year and over the years has turned to acidity on your heart, and you have become a bitter, cynical person. And it is hindering you from honoring your parents. I'm not going to honor my mom and dad. I hate them. Okay. I can't stand them. They hurt me. And I'm angry at what they did. I want you to write this down, if nothing else. Hurt and hate will cause bitterness to harbor in your heart. Hurt in your heart and hate, all right? It's going to cause you to become a bitter person. Bitter. Bitterness in the Bible is described as an infection. It's a root that chokes the life out of relationships. If you're married in here, listen up. If you or your spouse are bitter toward your parents, it's going to wreak havoc in your relationship. If you have bitterness in your heart toward a mother or a father, and you try to come together as a couple, it's going to wreak havoc in that. It's going to be hard for you to have a right relationship with your spouse. It's going to be difficult for you if you're harboring hurt and pain toward a mom or a dad for you to have a good relationship with your children. You're like, I'd never do that. Be careful. You're going to see very plainly from the scriptures what happens when you harbor bitterness in your spirit. I can't tell you the hundreds of conversations that I've had with people, Christians, who have harbored hate and hurt in their heart toward their parents. And here's the thing, okay, here's the thing. The thing is that bitterness that's there, and it is, and some of you know what I'm talking about. You're sitting there and you're bitter. It's on your face. It's in your heart. It comes out in your speech. It's there. When it's there, it affects and it infects every other relationship. When you are bitter, it affects and it infects every other relationship. You're like, you got a verse for that? Sure. Hebrews chapter 12. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Do you guys see that there in the text? Do you see what it says? Follow peace with how many men? Okay, would that maybe include your mom and dad? Answer? Okay. And don't just follow with peace, but also live holy. Because why? If we don't live a holy life, nobody sees our faith. Now notice carefully, there's a warning. Looking diligently. By the way, before I finish reading this, there's probably about a dozen or so verses in the Bible that scare me. I was talking to my son Nathan this week. We were talking about my message, and he said, how are you going to handle that? And I was telling him about a verse, and I said, we were riding along, and I said, here, open your Bible, or turn your Bible on, because he had his phone. I said, turn your Bible on and read Hebrews 12. And he looked at me, and he goes, Dad, that's scary. I said, yeah, it's a scary verse. It's one of the dozen or so verses in the Bible I call scary verses. Because here's what it says. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. That should make you hit the brakes. Lest, and here's the continuum of the verse, lest any root of bitterness springs up and troubles you, and notice, thereby many be what? Infected. Affected. Bitterness is described in the Bible as gall, as wormwood. It's a plant that was grown. It was poisonous. And the writer is saying, be careful. Now, some of you are going to struggle with what I'm about to say. But when you live a bitter life, you're living like a lost person. You're not living like a saved person. This is what the context of this verse in Hebrews is talking about. It's talking about salvation. And he's saying, listen, if you're living bitterly, you're failing of the grace of God. You're failing to realize what God has done in your life. You're not acting saved. Tell me you're acting how? Lost. Lost. And be careful, because when you get bitter, you start to infect. Many become defiled. It springs up. It's a root. Notice that God's plan, are you noting? God's plan is for us to live free from the bitterness caused by hurt and hate, and instead live a life of honor. This is God's plan for us. This is why all the way back here in Exodus, we have the Ten Commandments. This is why we have what we're calling God's laws for living. This commandment, this was to be the beginning of cultural change. First four are Godward. The next six are manward. He starts with the parental relationship. God was setting it up so that families and homes would receive the blessing that comes when we honor our parents. God wanted all of the heathen and the pagan nations round about to see what a healthy home looked like. This is how families operate. This is the way it's supposed to look. And by seeing that, by getting a visual of that, they would then be drawn to a perfect, loving, heavenly Father. Do you guys see that? If you do, say amen. All the nations were to look at how the parents treated the children, how the children treated the parents, how the grandparents and the great-grandparents, and how there was this treatment of one another. And they were to be drawn to that and say, this is what we want for our culture, for our communities, and for our homes. We want that. How are you able to act like that? Because we have a God in heaven who loves us. So, let's debunk a few things. Let's get a clear slate, if you will, so that the truth can stick to our hearts this morning, because we've got to learn to stop letting hurt and hate override honoring our parents. So, are you guys ready? Say amen. Okay, a couple of thoughts this morning. This will not be a normal 3 points, a poem, and a prayer, okay? A couple of thoughts this morning. Number one, this is going to sting. Are you ready? Here it comes. Here it comes. Parents are not perfect. And every parent said?
Amen.
Okay? And every child said? Okay, so you're still a child if you're in here. All the parents were like, amen! You're still a child, okay? Some of us just need to get real about our moms and dads and rid ourselves of unrealistic expectations. Do you guys know what unreal expectations do? They cause you to live in a constant state of disappointment and frustration. It sets up in you rebellion, and anger begins to rule the day because you have this expectation of how your mom and dad are supposed to be. Look, here's the truth. For some of us, if Jesus was our biological father, we'd find something wrong with him too. His beard would be too long. His sandals would be out of style. Why do you work with wood, Dad? Why can't you be a normal person and raise sheep like everybody else I know, right? We'd find fault with Jesus if we could. Because some of us have an expectation on our parents that we don't even put on ourselves. We want our parents to live up to a standard that we're not even living up to. We're expecting far more out of them than we would ever expect of ourselves. Now, it's interesting because it's one of those things where you go through several stages in life, don't you, about your parents? The first stage is you idolize them. You know, little kids look up to mom and dad, and they're just like, they're eating like them, they're dressing like them, they're talking like them, they're walking like them, and you just see it in them, you know? And they're just like, wow, mom and dad are amazing, and I want to be just like my dad or just like my mom, and they just, you know, they're idolizing you, and then they become a teenager. And you go from idolization to demonization. And you know, your mom and dad are so dumb and stupid and out of touch and out of style. And why are you wearing a plaid shirt with a paisley collar? And what is happening? And oh my goodness, what kind of music is that? And oh my, why is it taking you so long? You can only send a text to your parents every hour because it takes them that long to figure out how to type with one finger. I mean, it's like, why is this going on so long? And there's just this, I don't ever want to be like you. And you're so old and. Can I get a witness? It's like the kid who went away to college, came back after 5 years and realized how much his dad had learned in 5 years. He was so impressed, right? You go from idolization to demonization, and then suddenly it's utilization. You find out how much you actually need your parents. They're like, hey, Dad, listen, my wife and I haven't been out on a date. We'll keep the kids. Okay, thanks, Dad. Thanks. It's kind of a tight month. Here, we'll help you out. We got you. Got your back. All right, thanks, Dad. Thanks, Mom. Hey, Mom, I've offered like 6 burnt offerings to my husband, so could you help me learn how to cook, right? Right? Amen? Okay. You realize suddenly you go from idolization, demonization, utilization. Now, I really need my parents, you know, and I'm having a bad day, and I don't know who to, I'm going to call my mom. I want to talk to my dad. And so you utilize him, and then you go from idolization to demonization to utilization to you humanize them. And here's what I mean. The older they get, the more you realize you're becoming just like them. Get a witness? Okay. And when you all of a sudden you say something, you're like, oh my word, I sound like my father. And you realize, wow, hey, they went through the same thing I'm going through. How'd you do it? I was talking to one brother here in the church, and he said after his son was born, he said, and we had been up 3 nights in a row with dirty diapers and puke, and I had to go to work the next day and had to go to work the next day and had to go to work the next day. He said, I just got on the phone. I called my dad, and he answered the phone. He said, hello. He goes, thank you, Dad. He's like, what's wrong? I don't know. Thank you. I don't know how you did it. Thank you. Are you all right? Yeah, boy. So, bye. Click. Amen. You realize your parents weren't so dumb after all, right? Okay. Can I just remind us all about something about our parents, okay? All right? And I am one, okay? And I have parents. Here's the deal. They are fallen sinners. Did you hear what I said? Yes. They're fallen sinners, just like you. And they need grace. Lots of it, just like you do. Just like you do. Parents, not perfect. Number 2, we must practice forgiveness. You want to honor your mom and dad? You're going to have to forgive. No way! For some of us, honoring our parents is like cheering for a convicted criminal. The thought of what they did or how they treated us causes us to wrench inside with anger and disdain. Please hear this. It's so important. If you don't forgive your parents, and you don't practice forgiveness, you can very well end up becoming just like them. Maybe not in action, but in attitude. And for some, even in action. Years ago, before I was pastor here, I was in a very intensive counseling session with a couple. They were both in my office, both angry with each other, both wanted out of the marriage, both filled with hurt and hate. Bitterness was just tainted all over them. And I remember she was sitting there, and I said, well, help me understand what's wrong. And she looked at me, and then she looked at him, and she said, he is so mean. I said, can you give me an example? She said, sure. She said, movie night with the children, a night that's supposed to be fun, a night that's supposed to be enjoyable. It's a nightmare. She said, once the movie starts, the kids can't get up and go to the bathroom. The kids can't munch on their popcorn. The kids have to be still. And if they make any unnecessary noise, he sends them to bed and turns the movie off. She goes, and that's how it is in our home. He's rude, he's mean, he's mean-spirited, he's harsh, he's critical. She goes, I can't stand him. I don't want to be with him anymore. I looked at him and I said, is that true? And he said, yeah, it's true. I said, why are you acting like that? Why are you speaking so meanly to your children and ruining a night that's supposed to be fun? What's causing you to do that? And here were the words that he said. He said these words, because that's how my father was. When the TV's on, you shut up and sit down and you listen. You don't need to move around and go to the bathroom. You be still. You don't need to eat in the living room. You eat before you come in here. I could see the anger coming out of him in my office. His face was getting red. He talked about how kids today are nothing but spoiled brats and how his wife is ruining their children. And when he got done, I just looked at him and I called his name and I said, can I ask you a question? What? How did you like it? And how did you feel when your father treated you that way? He put his hands on my desk and started shaking. And he started to cry. He said, I hated him. I hated the way he treated me. I hated the way he yelled at me and the way we could never have fun as a family. And I had to go to bed many times at 6:30, sometimes 7 o'clock at night on a weekend. I was in bed, in my room, laying awake. I came across the desk and I put my arm on him and I said, your family feels the same way about you. I said, if you don't stop, you're going to hurt your kids. They're going to hate you, and they're going to be bitter, just like you. Forgive your father for what he's done to you. Because the way you're living now, and you're calling yourself a Christian, it's causing your kids to see hypocrisy, and your supposed life in Christ looks like a lie. I said, you're infecting your family. Write this down. Forgiveness cleanses your heart from bitterness. Forgiveness cleanses your heart. It lets it go. Sometimes all we can see is hurt and pain and problems that our parents caused us. And here's what we're doing. We're constantly looking at the wrongs and the negative traits and the sinful actions. And let me say it this way. If you keep looking and dwelling on them, you're going to end up becoming just like them. Why? Because where you look is where you're headed. Where you look is where you are headed. They will tell you when you're learning to drive, don't fixate on the curb, don't fixate on the mailbox, because if you keep staring at it, oh my word, right? When I was learning to ski is what my ski instructor said. He said, every time you look down, you fall. Keep your head up. Where do you want to go? I said, I want to go that way. He said, then look that way. You'll go that way. And some of us, all we're doing is looking back at our parents and everything they did and all the hurt and abuse and the pain that they caused us. And that is exactly the direction we're headed. You say, where am I supposed to look? Look unto Jesus. If your earthly parents have hurt you, look for your heavenly Father. Cry out to him. Cry to him. Confess to him how you're feeling. Rid your soul of bitterness. Clear your heart. Extend forgiveness again and again and again. Here's why. Because forgiveness is not simply a one-time action, but an attitude of living. You can't just do it one time. You got to do it again and again and again. And when you're having a good day and that bad thought comes in, oh, Lord God, it's under the blood. I'm choosing not to remember. God, help me through this moment. I ask you to forgive me. I don't want bitterness in my heart. And you do it again and again and again, because as you remember to forgive, then you'll forget. But if you try to forget without forgiving, it doesn't happen. Some of us just need to remember that justice came at the cross when Jesus died. Amen? And that justice delayed is not justice denied. Justice will be served in full when people stand before God and give an account. But for now, we need to learn to extend forgiveness and clear the heart of bitterness. Some of you are like, no, I'm not doing it. I will not. If you don't, the parent who hurts you still controls you then. you're still under their control. You've got to turn over the offender to the righteous Father. Practice forgiveness often, and in so doing, you are honoring God. You see, a lot of people will say, I'm not going to let him off the hook. All right, so Chad, come here. You're in the message real quick. He had no idea I was doing this. So let's assume for a moment that Chad has hurt me. He hasn't, okay? But let's assume for a moment that he has. Let's assume that because he's hurt me, I'm now getting bitter toward him. Here's what happens. I become linked to Chad. And everywhere I go, if I try to have a relationship with my wife over here with Angela, and I'm trying to talk to you, you know, it's not long before guess who's in the conversation? Guess who's in the convo? Yeah. So then I'm over here and I'm trying to fellowship with Josh, and I'm like, hey, you know what Chad did? Yeah. I mean, you already know you work for him, so I gotta tell you, right? So I'm over here talking to my sister Crystal, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm talking to her and she's trying to tell me about her day, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, oh, there he is again, right? Okay. And you know, I just drag Chad everywhere I go. I'm just dragging him around, you know, just walk everywhere I go. I got Chad with me, you know, and here we are trying to fellowship. I'm back here with the shoots. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. I got this Chad guy with me. Let me work on that. All right. And so everywhere I go, I'm just dragging Chad. He's just dragging him along. I'm trying to serve the Lord. And here's what we do. Sometimes I get to the altar and I repent. I'm like, oh God, forgive me. And I get up and there he is again. So you know what I have to do? I got to take him off my hook and hook him to the cross and leave him there and walk away. And some of you, that's what you need to do with your parent. Amen. Thank you, Chad. Appreciate it. You got your steps in too, by the way. Unhook your parent. Cleanse your heart. God, listen to me, will deal with him far better than you can. Far better than you can. Number three, put honor on your parents. This is hard. This is hard. This may mean, okay, here you go. This may mean that if we can't really say anything positive about our parents, we just don't say anything. Can I get a witness? You're like, tell me about your dad. You're like, he's my dad. That's it. So tell me about your mom. She's my mom. It's my mom. Mom. That's it. Sometimes not saying anything is the best thing. Amen? The point is, as one man said it, I love what this guy said. He said, I don't have a father that can really be honored, but what I can do is be a better father. And in doing this, I honor my father by living a life that is pleasing to my heavenly Father. Find any positive you can. Any positive thing that your parent did for you, to you, with you, and thank them. Maybe your dad was a hard worker, but he had a cold heart. Maybe he didn't show much affection or give you much attention, but he provided for you. It's more than most kids in this world get. Thank him for that. Amen? Say, Dad, thanks for providing for us. You're like, then what? Then that's it. You thanked him. You honored him. You're done. You're like, forever? Not so fast. You see, more than likely, he had a father who was just as hard and had no idea how to show love but through hard labor for his family. He's only mimicking what he was shown. Maybe your mom was strict. How many of you had a strict mother? Go home, look up the poem, I Had the Meanest Mother. You'll love it. Had the meanest mother. Maybe your mom was strict. Hey, for some of you, you needed that. Thank God your mom was strict, or you'd be in a penitentiary right now. Thank God your mom was hard. You might not be here today if it wasn't for her hardness, her unfairness, her going through your stuffness. Amen? Your mom ever come out? What is this? What is this? And who is this? Who is he? Who is Johnny? I love you. Who is Johnny? There is no Johnny till you're 21. Can I get a witness? And then she says the words, wait till I tell your father, right? Hey, oh, Lord. Huh? Maybe she was tough on you. You're like, yeah, she was a little too tough. It's okay. You probably needed it. Thank her for that. Thank her. Say, Mom, thanks for being so hard on me. She's going to just pass out right there. Just, you know, bring her. It's okay, Mom. Are you trying to kill me? Yes. With kindness. Amen. Write this down. Honor starts in the heart and is displayed in the home. Starts in the heart. Our homes are to be a place where honor is on display toward adults and those in authority. Moms and dads, you need to honor your parents as best you can, even in your older age. Even in your older age, honor them. As children, honor is given primarily through obedience. We learned this last week. Children honor mom and dad by obeying mom and dad. As adults, we honor mom and dad by respecting them. We talked about this last week. By listening to them, by learning from them, by loving them. We respect them. We don't always have to agree with them. It's okay. Okay, but you still listen. You still love. You still learn from them. And you give them the respect, the honor that is due. And in giving respect and in honoring them, remember to honor your spouse, husband and wife, as a model, as a visual. Remember, this was given to adults and children. So Moses was told by God to tell the children of Israel, the adults primarily, you be the visual for your children. Because children learn through visual, right? How they learn. You sit down, you're like, okay, we're going to read 5 chapters, right? They need a visual. And who's the visual for our children? Say it. We are. So when a wife disrespects or downgrades her husband in front of the children, she picks on him, she's cynical of him, she's critical of him, she narks on him, she pokes fun of him in a sarcastic manner, you know what the kids are like? Mom doesn't respect dad. Why should I? Why should I? She's the adult. She's the visual. She doesn't care what dad says. She doesn't care. She makes fun of dad. Guess what? That's what I'm going to do. More with a child is caught than taught. You can tell your children all you want. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. But then when you do the opposite, that's exactly what they imitate. So when a wife is treating her husband that way, her children grow up with no respect. When a father, hey, dads, when a father is aggressive and domineering and forceful and is intimidating, his kids just recoil from him. And they see how he treats the spouse. Guess what? In his mind, well, that's how I'll treat my wife. When I get angry, I'll just yell and back her into a corner and I'll raise my voice. And it's not long, you're raising your hand. Be careful. Be careful. They act like father and mother. You see, write this down if you have any room left. Part of God's plan in honoring parents was to break the culture of disrespect and the demonization of old age. Break this cultural barrier, this problem that the children of Israel had seen for 400 years. This commandment is generational. And when we as God's people keep this commandment, our culture is greatly impacted and influenced by us adhering to this command. And here's extra credit work for you. People see hope when God's people practice honor. They see our children with respect. They see how we treat each other as a couple. And they say, well, there's hope. There's hope. How many of you have been to Walmart and seen the Walmart maniacs running down the aisles and their kids, and you're like, man, this generation's gone, right? You've been out to eat, and there's the little terrorists, I call them, right? The little terrorists. and they're throwing their chicken nuggets and they're spitting out their drink and they're disrespectful to mom. And you're like, man, oh, and there's just hope. And you hear husband and wife just arguing and they're just, you sense the tension all the time. And then suddenly you see somebody else whose children are behaved and a couple who's in love and they're sweet on each other. And you look at them and you're like, wow, they got it going on. What's going on here? Amen? And there's children who are listening the first time. And put that down. Yes, ma'am. Drop it. And the steward, you know, people are passing out. They're like, how'd you do that? I had a World War II veteran one time. We were eating breakfast, and my boys were very young. And we got done eating, and Angela took them to the restroom. And this old man came walking over to me, had the World War II hat on. He had stormed the beaches of Normandy. And he came up to me, and he said, what are you doing with them boys? I said, I'm sorry, what, sir? He said, what are you doing with them boys? How come they're so behaved? And I said, I beat them. He said, good, they need it. I said, I'm just kidding. He said, no, you're not. I said, well, we do believe in spanking. He said, more parents should. He said, it's nice to go to breakfast and not have a bunch of heathens at the breakfast table. Patted me on the back, walked off. I felt accomplished for one second in my life. Amen? See, ours is a culture that's living under the curse of sin, filled with disobedient and rebellious children, including adults, who refuse, flat refuse, to honor mom and dad. We reject God's laws for living. We have a society that is suffering. We have a culture, not only, as I talked about last week, of intentional orphans, but in many instances, spiritual orphans. Kids whose parents have totally failed in their responsibility. No one has fathered them. No one has mothered them spiritually, relationally, or emotionally. No one. No one has invested into them. No one. No one has mentored them. No one has discipled them. No one has loved them. No one has led them in any direction but south. And they are left to figure it out all alone. And they are frustrated and confused. No hope, no honor, forsaken. Psalm 27:10 says, when my father and mother forsake me, say it with me, then the Lord will take me up. And we love that verse and we use that verse as a comfort to people. This was my dad's verse for a long time. Many of you know he was orphaned. He was abandoned by his mother on the side of the road. You know this. I've shared this with you. And this verse meant so much to him. And then we read a verse like this. But let me make the connection with you. The church, God's people in the Old Testament, and the church today, we have been harnessed with the responsibility of taking up the orphans, whether intentional or spiritual, and we do this by the spreading of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This week here in our church, our kids, they were singing a song that says, Jesus, he loves me, and he is for me. And I was telling one of the brothers in the church on the last night as this building was just packed full of people and I was listening to all of these children sing, I thought to myself, I bet that sounds amazing in the ears of a holy God. To know that all of these little children are being told at a young age, even the little shavers here on the front row, right? You know they're little when they sit and their feet just stick off the end of the seat like that. And all you see are the front of the bottom of their shoes, right? You know they're little. And here these little blessings are just singing. And at that young age, they're being told, there's a God who loves you. There's a God who's for you. And we're for you. I walked around this week to some of the children, and I looked at some of their crafts, and some of them, I didn't even know what they made. I wasn't even sure what it was, but I just put my arm around, so I said, man, you did a great job. I love what you're doing. I love your creativity. You're doing a great thing. We look at a child and we think, wow, that's so important. You know, and there's adults who would long for hear somebody else to say that to them. They would long for a senior person in the faith to come up and say, hey, you know you're loved. You know I love you. You know I'm for you. You know I want to invest into you. I want to help you. You see, as a new covenant people, we've been commissioned to share the message of God's love to all the orphans of the world, adults and children alike. We're to reach out to them and tell them about the love of a perfect heavenly Father. We are to be the spiritual fathers and mentors and mothers to those who have been forsaken in this life. And that's why I've quoted this today, that in the family of God, we are all brothers and sisters. No more orphans, we have a heavenly Father. Amen? There's no more orphans. We all come to the table of His grace the same way. That's why I love communion. Here in our church, I love when we have communion, because we all come to the table the same way. Amen? We all get there through the grace of God. And we find that in the family of God, hey, are you listening? Are you trying to write this down? In the family of God, here's what we find. No one's perfect. Amen? Don't try to sit at the head table. You don't belong there. There's only one person at the head table, King Jesus. Amen? Everyone else just gets to the table of grace. And we all get there the same way. But we are to be perfecting one another, helping each other in love, encouraging each other, loving one another. You're like, what does this look like? Okay, Titus 2, 1 through 6. Here we go, real quick, and then I'm done. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Now notice this is within the church. Look how the church should be functioning toward each other. That the aged men, we got any aged men in here? If you have no hair or gray hair, you're aged. If you have thinning hair, you're aged. Amen? Okay. That the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women, I'm not even going to go there. Amen? I want to stay on the good side. All right. The aged women, they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to wine, teachers of good things. That they teach the young women, hello, some of the best things. If you're an aged woman in here, and that is a term of honor, one of the best things you could do is find one of these younger women and say, hey, let me be a blessing to you. Let me help you. Let me encourage you. You see a young mother struggling with her little blessings, just go up to her and say, you'll be all right. I love you. You're going to make it. Bring them over to my house. I'll straighten. No, don't do that. Notice, to love their husbands. Man. Some of you men, you make it hard for your wives. Ladies, I'm trying to hook you up here this morning. It's hard for some of them. To love their children. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men! How many young men are in here? See, now the hands go up. I'm young. You're 84. Put your hand down. Young men. Exhort them to be sober-minded. Listen, there's a month of sermons in this text. And I can't preach it all right now, okay? I'm going to do a series on the home soon. We're going to be talking about this. Here's the point. This is how the church should function, coming alongside one another, helping each other, loving each other, mentoring each other, teaching one another, helping each other. God's pattern for the home and His plan for the church teaches us that biblical honor is a sure sign of a new nature. He said, what are you trying to say, Pastor? I'm saying this, that when you're not honoring your spouse, when you're not honoring your parents, you better check your nature. This is how we're to live. This is how God has set it up. You say, well, it's hard. Of course it's hard. It is hard. It's difficult sometimes. But in Christ, everybody say, in Christ. In Christ, we discover that what seems impossible is possible. We discover that what looks undoable becomes doable. As we surrender and submit ourselves to Him. Honoring our parents is for our good and God's glory. And in living out this commandment the gospel message becomes real in the hearts of those who have been forsaken and lost. You see, when we honor God and we honor our parents and we honor our spouses, suddenly the gospel message becomes a reality. And people who are orphaned in this world find hope in the way we're living as we live our life out according to God's laws for living. Amen? Let's bow for prayer.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.